Okay, so now text 25, chapter 2. Thus has the origin of the sacred law been succinctly described to you, and the origin of this universe. Learn now the duties of the Varnas. 26. With the holy rites prescribed by the Veda, must the ceremony of conception and other sacraments be performed for twice-born men, which sanctify the body and purify from sin in this life and after death. So the rites, the samskars, beginning with conception, on this is meant for the twice born. You know, I mean, shudras means that one is human. It means, you know, factually human, meaning that he is inquiring to the Supreme. He's interested in that, but just all the various ritual and this and that, and it's too confining for him, and it's too difficult. Like that, so they don't see so much importance in it. Though they support the system, they're part of the system, they're very much, interested in the spiritual subject matter, higher principles, but these fine points of purity and other things like that, to that degree, it just doesn't interest them. Like that. So those who follow it, they're called the Dvijas, because they understand that it's very important. Like that. So does that make some sense?
It makes sense.
Yeah. So it has to start with conception, because conception means that's when the living entity is conceived. It's the mental, it's just like in when something is done, it starts in the mind first. Mm-hmm. So the purity of the mind, if the mind can go through all that ritual, you know, because otherwise it may seem that the ritual clouds the emotional, you know, whole thing. So then one feels may not feel the importance of it, or may feel uncomfortable with it. But those who can feel comfortable with it means they have that kind of thought, that kind of way they think and deal. So this is what makes the culture unique, is that it's a specific way of thinking, is that the purity and the quality are the most important, you know, rather than just the feelings or this or that. This is the symptom of the more refined or more developed culture, is that in the atmosphere of the rules and regulations of purity and culture, one can function very comfortably and naturally. Or one feels a little bit of anxiety or difficulty in that, then he's not required to follow it. But then that's called the Shudra. That's if he's interested in spiritual life and, you know, in bona fide spiritual life and, you know, has the proper attitude to cooperate and work. It means you have outside that those who, you know, have completely their own idea. That's another thing. That within the Vedic cultures, that's understood.
Did Kshatriyas and Vaishyas do samskaras?
Yeah. Means Dvija means they start with Garbhodan. Like that. So then the Vaishyas, you see, the king Prabhupada mentions it, that it would be known. Known by the others. Just here. I see it, Dvaitacharya.
Because Krishna had it done.
Yeah.
And then the Maharajas.
So, yeah, it's very, it's natural. See, the thing is when it's understood, it starts to become very, very nice. Otherwise, what happens is okay, now, says, now I will briefly describe, this is chapter 11 of Dvaita Prakash, now I will briefly describe the main branches of the desire tree of Sri Advaita. At an auspicious moment, Mother Sita underwent the Garbhodan purificatory process for begetting a good child. On hearing this, the devotees became very joyful. So it means that it's very open. It's not a big thing. See, in the Western culture, it becomes very closed, you know, very private, very kind of thing. Because it is illicit, mm-hmm. even though they may be married, but it's still, the whole thing is, it's the whole idea, the concept is enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here the concept is not enjoyment, it's mm-hmm. a totally different approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's for begetting proper good children, that's mm-hmm. what it mentioned, an auspicious moment for begetting a proper child.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is that parental ras means that you're going to relate with a, you know, with somebody junior to you. You know, that you have that how you say, nurturing and caring and protecting mood with. Now, who wants to do that with, you know, a completely uncontrolled animal, right? Means, so the highest level of parental ras is tasted when the child is of a very high caliber.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, then they will naturally respect the elders in the community, they'll respect the teachers in the community, the spiritual leaders in the community, you know, all women they will respect, they'll be kind to other, you know, they'll be very nice with equals, they'll be very kind to juniors, like that. So that will all, if you can be very respectful to the leaders, you can be very kind to juniors, the two go together, like that. You know, it's just which side of it you're looking from. You know,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's very nice. So it's a glorious thing. The community is enhanced. It grows. These are your future leaders, you know, and because they've come in such a, you know, glorious way, and the people who will bring them then naturally are very glorious. And from an early age they have such a good start,
mm-hmm.
and then from there they will pick up. You know, I mean, they may develop the culture more, or to a deeper, more serious degree than even their previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will give opportunity to the next generation to even more develop than that. So slowly, slowly, it will just, you know, grow. So it's not something that people wouldn't know about. It's not, you know, you don't announce, but within the cultured groups, then it would be circles, it would be understood,
mm-hmm.
because it's a, how you say, yeah, so it's a whole different approach. The sense gratification is the side,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the side, mm-hmm. side aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a mother cooks for the child, the thing is that she's cooking something that the child likes, you know, or for his health, or for his nourishment, or, you know, something like that. So that is the main elephant, an element, the side, that means main elephant, yes. But on the side of that, it'll be made so it also tastes nice, because that's part of the process. But that's not the main thrust, you know. I'll just make something to taste nice. But why make it taste nice? Because of the rasa, the relationship. So the relationship is the basis of the sense gratification. But in the modern thing, the sense gratification is the basis of the relationship. You know, the boy's attracted to the girl because they're very beautiful, the girl to the boy because they're very handsome, and they're just thinking of when they can, you know, slip into bed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as soon as that doesn't work properly, you know, one of them is either too much into it or not enough into it. You know, or the beauty starts to wane, or, you know, other friction starts, then it breaks down. So because of the sense gratification, that's why the relationship is there. Sense gratification is not there, the relationship's not there. Like that, but the Vedic is just the opposite. The relationship is there, and then along with that, naturally, the senses are taken care of. You know,
mm-hmm.
like that. You know, it's like, To take care of the wife and the children, then you give them nice clothes, you know, and different things to take care, you know, nice food and nice arrangements to stay. But that's because that's the rasa. But in the modern scenario, we see is that one gives nice clothes in that because then that will get the sense gratification, you know. You give a nice sari to the woman, then she'll pay attention to you and you might get what you want. Rather than you want to take care, because that's the duty.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore that's shown through the medium of, the emotion is expressed through the medium of giving nice gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the other way is that to get what, how you say, to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Means your own personal, you do this because then they think you that there's something, yeah, you're nice, that there's something deeper to the relationship. So it's just a matter of what you base it on. You know, like we said, the difference between the Kshatriya and the Vaishya, you know, do you manage to take tax, or do you tax to take to manage, you know? You protect people so you get the money, because your goal is the fruit. Or you take the tax because then you can protect the people, because protection is the goal. So it's just a matter of it's a very fine line, which side you're coming from. But it makes a totally different flavor, you know? You don't think of, when you think of Vaishyas, you don't think of nobility and keeping their word and honor and power and all this. You just think of someone who will do, you know, practically anything to make profit, you know? Like that. So it takes on a completely, you know, one may say it's a very subtle difference, but that subtlety makes, it's an ocean of difference. So the Vedic culture is subtle. So when you understand the subtleties, then you can get a lot out of this. Because here you notice So which sanctify the body and purify from sin in this life and after death. Means the samskars purify us now and they purify us later. Because if one does have to take birth again, you take with you your consciousness of this life. So if the consciousness hasn't been purified, then that's what you'll get next life. So one will end up find oneself in an unpurified situation. So by performing these activities, one becomes purified. Like that. You know? Okay. 27. By burnt oblations during the mother's pregnancy, by the jata karma, the ceremony after birth, the chuda karana and the munga bandana, the tying of the sacred girdle of munga grass, that means the upanayanam, is the taint derived from both parents removed from twice-born men. In other words, the parents themselves will have some material, how do you say? No, it means material contamination. I mean, everybody has, I mean, one who's born in the material world, unless one is, you know, been sent, there's something that's keeping us here, you know? Even if they're born in their very elevated personalities, there's still something, you know? If they're madhyamas, or even if they're, you know, there's something is there that some material desire, some material taint, because that's the whole point of the Grihastha Ashram, is one studies one's position, one's mentality, and finds that there's still some material taint there. And so to deal with that, you have, I mean, so a mature person wants to get rid of that. He wants to go back to Godhead. So to do that, one must purify those material contaminations. And then the process is to engage those in the Lord's service. And then that is affected by following the rules and regulations the Lord gives. So something is there. Something is there. That's why they will become parents. You know? Because they're still, just from habit, there's still a little bit left. You know? Like this. Like it didn't mention that there was a gap between last life and this life. You know? So it's just a continuation. Isn't it? Yeah. So it just means it wasn't worked out last life. And then hopefully it'll be worked out this life. You know? Like that. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if there had been some gap in between, then that means that maybe something more would have been worked out. So it's not that one's coming back to it. It's a matter of what continued from last life is just going on in this life. Like that. So then one has to see what is there and engage that, then it becomes good. So it's very practical, very down to earth. There's no mystique to it. You know, it's very subtle. We may say it's mystic, but there's no mystique. It means that there's something unknown that we don't know about. You know, like that. We know exactly what's going on. You know, like that. So here. Yeah, so that means means the Garbhodhan has already been mentioned, and then there's some yajnas during the pregnancy that are there at the first month, at then when at consciousness, and then this one Simantanayanam just before the childbirth. No, Simantanayanam I think is the one where consciousness of the child, and then there's another one like that.
Which month does consciousness come?
I think it's seventh.
Seventh month.
Yeah, seventh month. That's why at that time the mothers would read Bhagavatam to the child, always attend temple programs, hear, you know, go to hear lectures. In other words, expose the child to as much spiritual things in the womb. I mean, Narad Muni was trained, I mean, excuse me, Prahlad was trained by Narad Muni in the womb. You know, there's no talk of him being trained after. Mm-hmm. It's just in the womb he was trained. And Prahlad is talking about my guru, you know. Mm-hmm. Like this, so this is all happening in the womb. And Astavakra, he got cursed to be bent in eight places, because while in the womb, his mother would always go and sit and listen to her husband's lectures. Mm. And one day he was making a point, and then suddenly a voice said, "No, no, it should be like this." And it was like, you know, his father was saying, "Who is dares to correct me in all this?" And then, you know, they were trying to, you know, he's asking all the students, you know, and they didn't say anything. So trying to figure out, and he finds out that from within the womb, his son had said, and he was, you know, because he was proud, he was very expert. He became so upset, he cursed the son. He bent in eight places, you know, and then after that, you know, he regretted. It was his anger and all that. You know, so then Astavakra was powerful. He was very powerful. But he learned in the womb. You know,
so Abhimanyu as well.
Abhimanyu.
Oh, okay. Right? Arjuna is explaining Chakravyuha to Subhadra.
Uh-huh.
And she falls asleep. So he stops explaining. Then during Kurukshetra, Drona makes Chakravyuha, Arjuna is somewhere else, and Mr. Jindal tells Yudhisthira there's only two people who know how to penetrate Chakravyuha, that's Arjuna and Abhimanyu. Arjuna is away, so ask Abhimanyu. So Abhimanyu said,
"Who's sitting?"
Abhimanyu said, "I can go in, but my mother fell asleep, so my father never explained how to go out." And Yudhisthira said, "Don't worry, once you penetrate, Bhima will be right after you and the others, and then the whole army will go inside and we'll get you out. We'll destroy the place and we'll get out." So that's what he did. He penetrated, but Dushasan closed the gap he made, so the army couldn't go in. So he went to the center, then he couldn't get out again. And that's when the Maharatis surrounded him and killed him. So it's the same principle.
Yeah. Yeah.
He learned.
He learned in the womb.
But because his mother fell asleep.
He stopped talking. He did. Wake up.
Starts kicking himself.
Yeah. So like that. So it's a very important, these things going on, because Prabhupada mentions it in the Bhagavatam, that the ladies would read Bhagavatam to the child, because then they can hear these things. Because you see, in the womb, it depends. In the Bhagavatam, it explains that you have the child who is fully conscious, sees the Lord, prays to Him like that. So that is, I'm not sure I've heard, I've kind of gotten two ideas from that. Is one is that every living entity is in that position, and two, only those who are a little bit more advanced are in that position.
In the Bhagavatam it says some.
Some. Okay, so then that concludes that point. So some, then see like that. So now if one goes through this process of Garbhodhan, you know, properly, in the proper mood, rather than, okay, we want to have sex, so, okay, we got to restrain ourselves and have the Garbhodhan ceremony. But it's actually is that this is the process for getting a good child, so then one goes through these ceremonies. Then it's a whole different consciousness. So it's very likely one, or more of a chance that one can attract such souls. like that. Mm-hmm. Because only a purified soul will come to a purified womb. Otherwise, they just won't go to a dirty... Like, you have a gentleman, they won't go to a dirty place. Mm-hmm. You know? So these advanced souls won't go to the womb where it's dirty. Means that if the garbhodan's not performed, it's not clean. Like that. You know, because everything has to be. Just like we can say, well, how can you say it's not clean? It's just like our hands. Mm. Our hands in normal use aren't considered clean. You have to wash them, then you can perform acts of puja and things like that. So then for the womb, then it's more subtle. It's done by mantra and things like that. Mm-hmm. So then that aspect, how do you say, that purity then attracts pure souls. Mm. Then they will be happy to come there. So that will be arranged. So then, such pure souls, then there will be ones who will naturally be more conscious. So then hearing the Bhagavatam and hearing all these things, then, you know, like that. So these stories are, you're hearing Astavakra's Brahmin family, Abhimanyu's Kshatriya, I mean, but what quality of Kshatriya, mm-hmm. you know, not Duryodhana's son, mm-hmm. you know, not Karna's children, not Dusha-san's or Shakuni or like that. You know, son of the emperors. You know,
Krishna's daughter.
Yeah.
Sorry, Krishna's sister.
Krishna's sister, you know, and you know Arjuna's, you know, is Nara of Nara Narayan. Mm-hmm. So you know these are, but the principle is there. One may say, well, we aren't on that platform. The principle is still there. Mm-hmm. You know. So otherwise, you know, Krishna and Balaram and everybody sat down to eat and had a good time, so we can say, well, I'm not on that platform, so I shouldn't sit together with friends and have a good time and eat. You know, that will do. But then these other things, then we say, oh, we can't do that. So this is the Shudra mentality. Mm-hmm. You know? Because we have to be very careful to avoid the Shudra mentality. Shudra mentality just means where that full understanding or dedication to the proper path is not present, you know, that weakness is there. So it's actually a state of consciousness. So someone who's that state is major, then they are said to be, you know, performing Shudra occupational duties, or they have a Shudra mentality like that. Otherwise, even an advanced person, when these moments, bad moments come up, this is the, you know, the Shudra mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, you know, Drona's son.
Ashwatthama.
It wasn't in the mood of a Brahmin or a Kshatriya that he killed the sons of the Pandavas. Mm-hmm. Like that. That would be in Shudra or less. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point, is the mode of goodness is not pure. You know, it means pure goodness is, but motive goodness has some. So these passion and ignorance that come in, they give rise to these lower thoughts. That's why you see Prabhupada many times would say to devotees, "You're acting like a Shudra," mm-hmm. or "You're thinking like a Shudra," mm-hmm. "Behaving like a Shudra." He doesn't say you are a Shudra, because mm-hmm. for someone in Daivavarna ashram, they're not a Shudra, because that's not their identity. Their identity is I am. Servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna.
Even Krishna tells Arjuna, Asochananda Sochastam Pradyabharam Chalas. Gata Sunagata Nana Sochanti Pandita. A learned person doesn't speak like this.
Yeah. Doesn't lament. Yeah, Sochan. Yeah. Because that's the word that Sushudra comes from. Uh-huh. Lamentation. That's the root is that Socha. Uh-huh. Then that's transformed into Shudra. Because uh-huh. Socha is a verb.
Right.
Well, Shudra is a noun. So all, it's interesting, the Sanskrit language, everything comes from verbs. Mm-hmm. Means activity is the root. Mm-hmm. Like that. When there's activity, then it has some meaning. Mm-hmm. So then from that it transforms into a noun. So the noun is based on the activity it's connected with. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's very, very, you know.
Yeah. It's acceptable.
Yeah. So that way, if you know Sanskrit, then one can understand so many subtleties. Mm-hmm. Problem is nowadays Sanskrit is just used because it's, you know, it's not so many, it's not so common, and they get proud and they think, okay, they can translate a word, but how they can understand how it works and what is the culture behind it, that's more the use of it. Because Sanskrit is a connection how you say, a very natural connection between the transcendental knowledge and the other aspects of the material knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It means your astrology, your Ayurveda, your histories, your Dharma Shastras, your logic. It's the natural connection between them,
mm-hmm.
because the language itself carries the transcendental and that transcendental culture. So naturally, as that transcendental culture becomes transformed into the material culture, then it's the same. I mean, not the same. I say it's the same. It's coming in the same line.
Mm.
You know, it's the same topic. It's just whether it's in its pure transcendental presentation or whether it's in some form of materially presented presentation.
I was telling you about the book I saw on Bharatanatyam. And it had all Rupa Goswami's Yathartha-roshi terminology.
Uh-huh, yes.
For explaining different modes.
Yes.
Like Krishna's mode in this, Krishna's mode in that, the different bhavs, the different rasas, it's all there.
Mm. Yeah, it's the same. Rasa is rasa.
Mm.
It's just whether the rasa is based on spiritual exchange, material-emotional exchange, or sensual exchange,
mm-hmm.
material-sensual. Because when mm-hmm. you say spiritual, it includes the emotional and the sensual,
mm-hmm.
transcendental emotions, transcendental senses. It's complete.
Mm.
But in the material world, it becomes disjointed,
mm.
because it's not based on, means when you base it on higher principles, on dharma, then the emotions are there along with the senses. But if you don't base it on dharma, then you just have the senses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may temper it with a little morality, so I can do my sense gratification, you can do yours. But the reason the justice and the laws are there is we both want to enjoy. So therefore, if I make a nice fence, then I can enjoy this side of the fence, you can enjoy that side of the fence. Right? If there's no fence, then we may argue over which is there for each to enjoy. You know? Like that. So therefore, the codes of justice and all these things are there just to ensure that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still for sense gratification.
Mm-hmm.
But dharma is higher than that. The dharma takes care of these lower levels to make sure the senses are taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But justice and morality and all these things, these are the lower levels. That's why you see in the presentation of Dharma Shastras, the king's duties to ensure justice and discipline in the kingdom and economics is the second part of the book, because it's the lower principle. You know? Most take that's the management. We want to get into this, we take that. That's
mm-hmm.
the lower principle, because that
mm-hmm.
ensures that everybody is able to enjoy their senses without bothering each other. Like that. And so that there is the facility for the higher principle mm-hmm. of the emotional platform, you know, like that, which is based on religious principles. So we discussed the other day, actual pure tasting of material emotion can't be had unless it's in relationship to dharma.
Mm.
You know? It's not tasted. So most will say, well, I'm tasting emotions. But they're just the lowest end of them. You know? They're not actually tasting, you know, higher
mm-hmm.
ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know? How are they tasting higher ones? So it's you know, but that combination is there. The point is material life means that all that will be there. Dharma, artha, kama. Right? From dharma comes artha. That's the platform of justice, morality.
Mm-hmm.
Then from that comes kama. Then kama can take place nicely. But the dharma, I mean the artha, can't take place unless there's dharma.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk social development, unless there is dharma established, varnashram, you actually can't have economic development that is very good for spiritual upliftment. You know, you can get some, but that's just coming from previous karma.
Hmm.
Like that, it's just coming from previous karma.
Hmm.
But you're not creating from anything new. You follow dharma, it creates the piety that makes the artha. But otherwise, one can say, well, you know, the karmis aren't don't follow Vedic culture. They're getting, but that's just from previous performance of
mm.
dharma, like that. But otherwise, you see, they go down. You know, they lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't die in a glorious position. Is this a? Oh, okay. I'm just wondering what the bindi is made out of. Is it a stick-on or is it a?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stick-on. It means eventually you should get into the actual kumkum. You know, not necessarily now, but I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
After certain ceremonies have been performed, is because then that is that's a chakra. This point, it's a chakra.
Yeah.
You know, it has to do with the memory and all that. That's where the memory is situated, in the intelligence. And then, it means it's in the heart, but that's the point where the work goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you use actual proper kumkum, then it it changes the whole subtle body. It makes it peaceful, like that. So it actually affects the chakra when you use the kumkum. Like that. So it's something worth
that
getting.
Means what you get in the bottle, or
no? You have to get the real stuff. The stuff in the bottle is this color and that. The real kumkum is
powder.
It's a powder, but it's turmeric.
Yeah.
Turmeric's been treated with lemon and dried in the sun and like that. I don't know the system. But I've asked ladies; they know that that's what's done, but they don't know the actual technique. You can get real stuff. It smells so different. You can ask Nishina Kavacha.
You know what he did?
Huh.
He got this white powder that they make pan out of.
Uh-huh.
And he mixed that with turmeric powder.
Huh.
And it turned red.
Oh, that may be something else. Or maybe one way of doing
he
it.
He said that was kumkum.
Maybe one way of doing it.
Also, but
here. Yeah, yeah. And that's later. But that's yeah, but there. I think there's a few different ways to make it, so that may be one of the ways. It means you need something that creates the chemical change in the turmeric, but it's turmeric, like that.
If we buy the powder?
Yeah, you can get good powder, but I'm not sure where. Generally, I've seen the best stuff has come from Bombay, South India, like this. I don't know the connections. There must be some place in Calcutta where you can buy it, where South Indians are, because they know what real stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, in North nowadays, it's just mostly just color and stuff. I think you can get the real, because that has a very strong smell also.
Mm-hmm.
Very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Side. Like that. Because they all have their purpose, you know. It's the whole thing. Is it fixes the mind? Okay. By the study of the Vedas, by vows, by burnt oblations, by the recitation of the sacred texts, by the acquisition of the threefold sacred science, by offering to the gods, by offerings to the gods, rishis, and manes, by the procreation of sons, by the great sacrifices, that means the five main, the ones for killing all the living entities. It means sweeping and starting fires and all that.
Can you say those?
They're coming up.
Okay.
And they come quite shortly. And by the Shrauta rites, this human body is made fit for union with Brahman. So the whole idea is that the Dvija is interested seriously in Brahman, like that. So therefore he goes through all these things. And we see that the Brahman, that doing those things is their training and occupational duty, nothing else. And for for the Kshatriyas, they'll do it, but a little less. Vaishyas, a little less than that. You know, Shudras may or may not do it if there's interest or not. Like that. 28. When he learns to take your personal necessities. Okay. By acquisition of threefold science. Oh, okay, that's the three Vedas. By learning the meanings of three Vedas. Because the three Vedas basically mean that this is the supposed to be the higher portions, you know, the more subtle meanings and understandings and philosophy mm-hmm. that is there in the whole Vedic science. That's mm-hmm. why it's always mentions the three, because the Atharva Veda, that's all the miscellaneous. So that will be all, you know, things like warfare, Ayurveda, and all these kind of things like that, mm-hmm. which will be the more like practical, applied sciences, which are considered, you know, subservient to the higher principles of the purpose behind them mm-hmm. and the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the three Vedas. So in other words, by here it must be acquisition of threefold sacred science, and by the study of the Veda, probably in the first one means reciting the mantras, memorizing the verses. Mm-hmm. And this way, study the Veda means he memorized it and learned the ritual, like that. And the second means the science behind it, what's going on mm-hmm. in the application of this. Mm-hmm. Does that make mm-hmm. sense there? So these are the things. It means, in other words, studying the scriptures, you know, memorizing the scriptures by taking the vows according to, you know, sadhana, not making up our own, by performance of sacrifice, in other words, by the Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna and spreading the mission. Then by worshipping the Lord, you know, by the deity worship. Then, yeah, and performing samskaras, then one prepares oneself, purifies oneself, so it makes it, one is able to perform, how you say, come to the level of you know, making spiritual advancement. These things themselves don't necessarily make it, because karma and jnan can't create bhakti. Mm-hmm. But if they're engaged in the Lord's service, then that becomes bhakti. Mm-hmm. It's part of the bhaktiyangas. It's part of the process of bhakti. So the in other words, the process for the kanistha and madhyamut adhikaris is taking these aspects and engaging with the Lord's service. Because it's only the uttama factually can perform pure bhakti, because there's no material on the tin, so it actually is devotion. Mm-hmm. While with the kanistha and madhyam, there'll be some tinge of material desire, you know, acquisition of material knowledge. Right. So it's still counted as bhakti, because it's being done for the Lord with the purpose of coming to the platform of pure unalloyed devotional service. But because it's still not pure, you can't call it as such, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before the navel string is cut, the Jatakarma birthright must be performed for a male child. And while sacred formulas are being recited, he must be fed with gold, honey, and butter. So that's the first, after birth, that's the first ceremony. It means before the navel, what do you call it?
Umbilical cord?
Yeah, the umbilical cord is cut. It's a very interesting thing. I just saw a small documentary on this thing of the navel. I mean the umbilical cord. Is that they found that the, you know, because normally in the modern thing is they're born and immediately they just cut the navel. I mean the umbilical cord, you know, like that, and then hang the kid upside down and give him a whack. So, but what they found is that blood that's coming through the umbilical cord at that time, mm-hmm. just after the birth, it can cure cancer.
Wow.
I mean, really, maybe even leukemia, some really heavy stuff. It's really mm-hmm. powerful. Mm-hmm. So what this one research crew is doing in Australia is they collect, they, with the permission of the mother, they collect that, you know? I don't know for how long, they collect a small amount of that. And then they use that for producing very powerful medicines,
wow.
you know? Like that. So the Vedic thing here, it says here, before the navel string is cut, the Jatakarma is done. Because it takes not long, a few moments, but it's some minutes, you know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, they do all the, you know, making and starting and breathing and all that kind of stuff. But they don't cut the navel cord. So then that special nourishment is coming, and that will make the child his health much, much stronger. And then the jatakarma is for he's fed with gold, honey, and butter. It means that with a gold spoon, you feed them a mixture of butter and honey. It's just a touch, you know, just something on the mouth. And that then creates a chemical reaction in the body that increases the intelligence. Yeah. It's also called medha yagya, which means medha is intelligence. Mm. Jata, I think, means birth. Mm. So jata karma means the birth rites, but its other name is medha yagya, means for the production of intelligence. Mm. But this would be fine intelligence. This doesn't necessarily mean that he won't be, you know, good in material knowledge, but for the higher spiritual knowledge, then the subtleties, then this is done. So that combination of having that connection and still receiving that blood from the mother at that time, plus then taking the gold, honey, and butter, then that creates a very special, you know, facility for the child as far as health and his intelligence and everything like that.
Mm. You know? Did the researchers figure that the umbilical cord should be left there for some minutes?
I don't know. It's just they've started taking... No, that they won't do. They just they don't see it like that. No. It hasn't twigged that if the child got that, then there would be some real benefit. They don't see it like that. They're not that together. So this is the upon born than those who follow the dvijas they should follow. In other words, what's going on here is describing what the dvijas should do, like that. And then from that, it'll get into then what everybody, you know, specifically within what they should do. Mm-hmm. Then 30. But let the father perform or cause to be performed the namadhyaya, the rite of giving rite of naming the child, on the 10th or 12th day after birth, or on a lucky lunar day, in a lucky muhurta, under an auspicious constellation. And so then the next thing that's done after 10 to 12 days, the next samskar is namakarana, giving the name. Mm. So then that should be done, because then the child is born at a certain time, and so then those certain, pay attention here, the child means he's born under certain constellations and all that, and certain titis, certain nakshatras and all these. So then those need to be, because that's the potency of those is coming from the Lord. Mm-hmm. So then one respects those and gives the name according to that. In other words, Krishna's potencies are coming down through the 9 planets and the 27 nakshatras and the various all these different things, and has control on the living entity, but it's Krishna's control that's there, like that. So then one is recognizing Krishna's control in that for the devotees. It means for the followers of the Daiva Varnashram, for followers of, you know, just regular Varnashram, they just see as far as those planets. Right. That those planets have the control, and then, and that's as much as they see. At best, they see the demigods of those planets. Mm-hmm. A little more elevated, if the jnanis, then they'll see the Brahman behind that. Mm-hmm. But only the devotee then understands that Krishna is behind all that. So then recognizing that, you know, in other words, that Krishna is then this namakaran is performed. And the Lord, and then his representatives in the form of the titis, planets, nakshatras, and all that is being respected.
And that means that according to the titi, nakshatra, the planets, then a name is given.
Yeah, it means you choose. There's different ways you can choose. There's like 3 or 4 according to the month, according to the titi, I think according to the nakshatra. Then different either names come up or syllables. Mm-hmm. So it's you take a name of a particular personality, or they can even have all those, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Like that. Then they'll pick. So that's done at that time, because you have to call them by something. You know, you can't just call them "Hey, you," you know. So then a name is there, and then it comes up. I'm not sure. Okay. Okay, then it gets into names. Here. Let the first part of a Brahman's name denote something auspicious. A Kshatriya's be connected with power. A Vaishya's with wealth. But a Shudra's should express something, you know, just ordinary. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So here. So it means, in other words, yeah, like that. So the Brahman's name is always something along that line. Just means that it's something very auspicious like that. Kshatriya is his power, because then people, you know, Varma and other things like that. Then Vaishya's wealth, you know, mm-hmm. You have all these things. It's funny, like the Jews, you know, Goldberg, you know, gold, you know, like that. So they have like that. And we see Shudras, it's just after their occupation, you know, smith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, coal field, because they own the coal field, or just something ordinary, mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, nothing special. 32. The second part of a Brahma's name, that's the first part, the second part of a Brahma's name shall be a word implying happiness, a Kshatriya a word implying protection, and Vaishya is a term expressive of thriving, and a Shudra is an expression denoting service. So that means dasa.
Hmm.
So we as devotees accept the Shudra's term of dasa, as servant. Because dasa, Shudra means servant.
Mm-hmm.
So we see ourselves as Krishna's servant.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore we accept that title like that. We don't accept the other titles like that. So we have our name and then dasa like that.
I was wondering that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we don't see devotees have dasa at the end of their names.
No, because we're those devotees, dasa. It means those are the devotees we're servants of.
Mm-hmm.
No, because they're just following the culture. That's the taste Krishna has. It's just, this is the whole thing, this is Krishna's culture. Krishna in Vrindavan is a cowherd boy, and Madhu Mangal is a Brahmin. You know, Kamsa in Mathura is a Kshatriya. You know, like that. And then you have, you know, they have their servants, you know, like that. Like Dhanishta is a servant in the family, mm-hmm. and Raktaka and all that. So then they'll be taking that. Then you have the forest peoples, the Pulindas, you know, like that. And who bring all, you know, the musk and all the different things from the forest and all that. And then in that, then Krishna has all these relationships. He has these nice exchanges, you know, with everybody because of this. So he likes this. This is how he's created it. He's created the rasas. He's created the varnas, the ashrams. He's created all that because this is what Krishna likes, how he likes to exchange. It gives rise to a great variety of exchange, you know, like that. So therefore, and then there's the higher principles behind it. Like, the rasa dance may look, well, he's breaking dharma, but actually this is the most complete manifestation of dharma, that complete surrender to Krishna. You know, that means, it looks like the gopis are unchaste, but they're the most chaste.
Mm.
Like that. So these things are there, you know, that's, it's also that flavor, you know. That comes into the material world, the flavor of breaking the religious principles, that there's a taste. But there's no understanding of the higher principle. But with Krishna, it appears that it's broken, but he's actually following the highest principle of what the Dharma is for. Mm. So it's just different. So Krishna comes with his associates, and they do all these different things.
Mm.
You know, so then they have, you know, he's born Jagannath Mishra, so he's, you know, like that, and they have all their titles. You know, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya got the title Vidyasagar. Because he's just an ocean of knowledge, you know. Advaitacharya knows as Veda Panchanana, you know. When he knows the Vedas very nicely.
And Daniel is also Vidya Simha.
Vidya Simha, yeah, a lion knowledge. And it's interesting is that Vidya Devi, then she's one of the associates of Lord Nrisimhadeva, and Nrisimhadeva is served by Divya Saraswati. There's a prayer where it mentions that he's served by her. Sure, all the Vishnumurtis are, but it specifically mentions that with Nrisimhadeva. Mm. Like that. So we accept this one of service. It's like Brahma's name. You have Sharma, like that. Or some synonym, yeah. Happiness, a refuge. Yeah. Okay. Then it mentions next, the names of women should be easy to pronounce, not imply anything dreadful, possess a plain meaning, should be pleasing and auspicious, end in long vowels, and contain a word of benediction. Like Jashoda, you know, one who always gives. You know, it's simple, mm-hmm. Sounds very sweet and nice, like mm-hmm. This. You know, something very nice, because the whole thing is the whole tattva of women is just the simplicity, the pleasantness, the niceness.
Auspiciousness.
Yeah, auspiciousness. And this is what's in the culture, is the exchange is the main thing. Mm. You know, the young girls, the purity, and then the women, such motherly mood and all this. The modern thing is just turned them into just, you know, skin. Mm. You know, but actually it's supposed to be very auspicious and nice and exchange, and that mood of protection is there. Because mm-hmm. if it's simple, then you want to take care. If it's very sophisticated, complicated, they can take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's natural, you want to take care of this, that, and mm-hmm. all these kind of things. You know, so it's like that. It should be something very, very nice.
Yasoda and Chetida are synonyms.
Ah.
That's fine. Mm. Fame.
Fame.
Gives fame.
Oh, I see. Da meaning giving. Jashoda. Jasho and Kirti.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so this is now it's interesting. Suddenly we got into names. How do we get into names here, right? In the Kshatriyas, Brahmas, because we just went through Namakarana. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The whole book is going just according to the samskars,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well thought out. Generally, if you just read it through and don't understand this, right. You'll say, wow, is this a mixed up book? And you want to put, you know, everything connected with the Brahman together, everything with Kshatriya mm-hmm. together. No, but it's going through the samskar. You're giving a name. Okay, now, depending upon what it is, this is how you give the name.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes into the next samskar. In the fourth month, Nishkramana, the first leaving of the house of the child should be performed. Then, you know, there's nothing in connection with that. In the sixth month...
That means the child stays in the house for 4 months?
So. Generally, like that, they don't move because they're very delicate. And the mother's condition is also delicate. So she has to get her whole body back together and get her, you know, just everything. And the child shouldn't be moved around. And when you go out of the house and also everybody sees, everyone comes, pinches and pokes and all that. And that also affects the subtle body of the child.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other people who see the child and they may be jealous or envious. So that the child under 3 months like that shouldn't be is not seen by others.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, they're too delicate. Their subtle body gets screwed up too easily.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, then they're after the third month is complete. Then in the fourth month, then they're strong enough, and the mother is strong enough. Generally, that's when they go back to the house.
Means mm-hmm.
It's very common that they'll go to another relative's house, you know, one of the feminine relatives, you know, mm-hmm. the mother's house or the auntie's house, or, you know, it means their sister's house, someone others like that, where there's more women there who are experienced and they can take care.
Because
mm-hmm. at their own house, who knows anything there? It's only them, you know, so it's generally at a place where there's other women who know what's going
mm-hmm.
on. It can be there, joint family or small community, it's commonly
mm-hmm.
done.
Mm-hmm.
But the principle is wherever it is that they just kind of like stay inside, stay secluded. Mother gives full attention to the child
mm-hmm.
like that, and then, you know, takes care of herself and the child, and others take care of the mother. Mm-hmm. It means all the other women are taking care of the there's all, I don't know them, but I know there's all kinds of special things that they eat
mm-hmm.
and do during that time that gets everything back together
mm-hmm.
like that. Some very specific things that they do
mm-hmm.
like that. And after that, they're both strong, then they come out. But the child also gets full attention,
mm.
like that. Otherwise, then in the just beginning stages, then, you know, where they get that full. So that first 3 months is absolute full attention.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, it's the mother's giving, but others are also giving the input.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the connection with the mother is made very strong in that first 3 months. Then others, other parental rasas added in, mm-hmm. you know, and then that goes, then that develops, you know, so that the relationship with the family and the community develops, and eventually then they go to the teacher, and then the parental, other aspects of the parental rasa are developed with the teacher, you know, the understandings, the subtle understandings and observation of what they've learned from the parents and the, mm-hmm. And the community, mm-hmm. like that. Then, in the sixth month, the anaprasana, first feeding with rice, and optionally any other auspicious ceremony required by the custom of the family. Because there's so many samskars, but that's the main. One could also do the... There's some other little ones. I don't know them. There's 48 samskars total. 10 are main.
Right.
Like that, but all like that one. At 3 months, when this nishkramana is there, is one of the things is the baby turns over. Because up to that time, they just lay on their back. They can't turn over. But after 3 months, and they generally turn over. So then that samskar can be done.
Like Uttan?
Maybe it's got... That's what they were doing for Krishna, and he killed the Shatakasura at that time. So there was a big ceremony. So it's already... He's turned over, so now he's out in the open, everybody. You know, so it's like that. Like that. According to the teaching of the revealed text, the Chudakarma Tansur must be performed for the sake of spiritual merit by all twice-born men in the first or third year. So spiritual merit, because the hair that one was born with is considered impure. But the head is not developed enough, because mm-hmm. the bones are not fully set, mm-hmm. you know, within the first year. I mean, they all say in 6 months it kind of sets, but it's like it gets strong after a year. So generally at that time, then that is performed, mm-hmm. the chudakarna, the shaving of the head. Otherwise it's also it's too much for the head. Also the eyes will probably have gotten strong, because when you shave the head when they're young, it dries the scalp a little bit, and it puts some tension on the eyes, because it pulls the skin,
mm-hmm.
like that. So before that age, then it won't be done. Then after that, it can be regularly done, but mm-hmm. up to that time, it's not. So it's also health consideration. But it says here, for spiritual merit, means the because otherwise, how do you perform? How then you'll go your whole life with that dirty hair?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll never have been really purified. So how do you perform sacrifice or any pure activity?
Mm-hmm.
So chudakarna must be done, like that. So it here says here. First or third. Best is first, second is third. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami says it can even be done as late as the fifth. Like that. But the best option is first,
mm-hmm.
in the first year. Then in the eighth year after conception, one should perform... what time is it now? Sorry, 9:06. Time for breakfast. Yeah, let us stop here. Oh no, yeah, because then it gives the Upanayana. It gives the Upanayana. That's the next one. Because then it goes into a whole huge thing for that. This will take up pages. You know? That's the interesting thing. It's up to here, then when he gets to Upanayana, then he'll give all the duties of a brahmachari. You know? So you'll learn all that while you're going through the samskara. Then after that, then you'll get into the next. Then he graduates, so he's a snatik. Then he'll get into all the rules of that.
Right.
Then he gets married, he'll get into all the rules of marriage and everything. like that. Then after that, he'll do vanaprastha, then sannyas. like that. So in that way, he's covered that. And he's covered all the, you know, the basic duties.
In Poland, very often they ask, do you have some scars? I mean, the Catholics also have. They have. I don't know what it's called. When you dress with the white clothes and you go, small kid, to church, what's it called?
It means that
Tell
you.
Polish?
Communion. Yeah, it means that you confirm that you yourself have agreed that you want to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Like that. Well, otherwise you're just doing it because your parents are doing it, but then at 12 you mm-hmm. go through the communion. The Jews also then have at that time, they have the, what is it called? I don't remember. they also have a ceremony when then you're considered you're an adult then, because you've chosen Judaism.
In Poland, they do it younger than 12.
How old?
5, 6.
I always thought that there was...
Eight.
Oh, I always thought it was a little bit later, something like that. Maybe there's another thing at that time. Yeah, baptism they do.
Yeah.
And all these things.
They have some, and they always ask, do you do these?
Yeah, we have all these things.
And questions and answers, they ask.
Yeah, no, we do those things.
And I told them we have many. It starts before birth.
Yeah.
With this. And then, you know, then there's the birth and there's this and that. They're impressed by that.
Yeah. So we'll go through the explaining of these things. Mm-hmm. Then if you have in here, you can study and see what is the ritual. He's in this book on the samskars?
Yeah, I saw.
Okay. So in there, yeah, then you can see there. And that gives all the ritual that is there. In it. You know? So that gives all the different ways. Now there's a preface by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.
Yeah, I read that.
It's good. I mean, it's like, you know, devotees say, we don't care for it. It's like somehow or another he has a different opinion. Oh, it's a samskara divika. Okay. Yeah, it starts with marriage. Because then the whole idea is then marriage is where it starts, and after that, then they'll be garbage on this, that, that.
Mm-hmm.
Comes through them. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, somehow or another. Somehow or another.
All of Agrihastha should follow this.
Yeah, well, he's just saying, it is not that the erroneous Smartavad misconceptions have only penetrated the Vaishnava community of Bengal. They've also spread to other Vaishnava societies all over India, in some places more, in others less. Therefore, the Satkriyasar Deepika is now very famous. The Satkriyasar Deepika is not very famous now. By the endeavor of Sri Srimad Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who re-established the flow of pure devotion, this book was published again some time ago. Now this is the third printing, and we view this as an opportunity to propagate the Vaishnava faith and the rules, regulations, and etiquette of devotional service. So Bhaktivinoda, who established the flow of pure devotion, re-established it. Otherwise it was lost. He could have left it.
Mm-hmm.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is into the mat and the preaching mission. Mm-hmm. He could have also left it. So he says this is the third printing, means the original printing by Gopal Bhatta Goswami.
Uh-huh.
And then
Bhaktivinoda. And at the end he says all others will be stamped out and this will be the one that remains. I think that's how he finishes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's real.
Yeah. We can observe from the writings of the Smarta Bhattacharyas that there are certain differences of opinions between Vaishnava Smriti and non-Vaishnava Smriti. In other words, between the Smarta Smriti Padatis and the Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas of the Vaishnavas. So in other words, it's like Hari Bhakti is our thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that he's... Because some like to throw that into, well, that's karma. Mm-hmm. You know, saving one from karma, but... unless one has come to the platform of Brahma Bhuta, one better be saved from karma. You know, it's like sometimes these things get written off so easily in the name of the higher realms of devotional service, but until you get there, then maybe you better get it. You better, you know, purify yourself. There were many obstacles in the preaching of the Vaishnava Smriti due to the popularity of the non-Vaishnava Smritis. The Vaishnava and non-Vaishnava padatis differ in many places regarding demigod worship, shraddhas, ekadasi vratas, etc. Also due to a lack of genuine Vaishnava grihasthas for some time, the Smarta ceremonies were accepted by Vaishnava. Non-Vaishnava rituals are not accepted as bona fide by the Vaishnava world. And since this And since this has been logically proven with Shastric evidence, those sense enjoyers who are inimical to pure devotional service find this fact unpalatable. Therefore, they have endeavored to stop the publication of books containing Vaishnava rituals and etiquette. However, there is no doubt that the vain hopes and desires of the non-Vaishnavas will be uprooted by the republication of this book. Those whose heart feel pain as if pierced by a lance by the spreading of Vaishnava Smriti will not be able to appreciate topics of devotional service. Nonetheless, the customs of the society of pure Vaishnavas, being like the pole star, will shine forth brightly even in the darkness of the new moon. Jai! Oh yeah, he doesn't mince words at all. Just says it so matter-of-factly.
Yeah. Full convention.
Yeah.
Bhakti Siddhanta.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate it. Just wish I could, you know, develop the, what do you call it? Be able to follow in the footsteps of that straightforwardness. That's not based on any personal, you know, how you say? Personal motives or personal agenda. It's just, this is the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say it and no one can complain because it is the fact. It's the truth. Yeah. Jai Ho. Jai Ho.